Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett and I got Kyle with me, and we actually have a very special guest today. Coming off of our Renewing the Mind series, we have Pastor Ross. Welcome to the show, Pastor Ross.
Hey guys, happy Halloween.
Yeah, we are recording on Halloween, which means it's the day after
the Dodgers won the World Series.
Oh yeah.
Way to go, boys.
Woo! It seemed pretty bleak at the beginning though.
It did.
That was a wild game.
Yeah.
A wild game.
I changed the channel. I was watching something else and I'm like, okay. They still got two more games, you know, after this, so yeah.
I was out and about with different things, but I got back to watch the last inning and a half. So I got to see the climactic end and the tension and all that, and I was see him celebrate, so that was cool.
Yeah, our small group was over. It was extra Wednesday in the month, so we just decided to have like a hangout. Nice. Especially because it was before Halloween. So luckily I was grilling and cooking while the Dodgers were sucking, so saved me some peace. And then after I was done, it was actually tied, and so I just got to be anxious for the rest of it.
I was actually getting a little nervous too, because once we started to make the comeback, a lot of our high leverage relief pitchers weren't pitching very well, and we were running out of pitchers at the end. So I was like, even if we get the lead, what's going to happen? We don't have any guys left.
Yeah. Shout out to Blake Treinen.
He also openly
loves Jesus. So it's cool to see him on that stage to give props to God and just his acknowledgement of his faith. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Bueller. Bueller. Anyone? Bueller.
Ferris.
Harris calls him Weller.
Nice.
He's like, oh, Weller's pitching again. He's the guy that threw the trash can before.
Nice.
All right. Well, congratulations to the Dodgers, but that's not what our podcast is about. Sorry
to Pastor Barry and Matt.
Our podcast is Engaged to Flourish. So we really want to talk about how, you know, when we have a renewed mind and God transforms our lives through that, it actually allows us to flourish in every season, and not just the seasons that things are going well, but in every season we're able to experience God's presence and we're able to experience the things that he has for us during each season. So, you know, I thought it was a really good series for us, especially as a church, to start looking towards the future as we move into being a city on a hill, because I think we've had an 18-year history of looking at things a certain way, of living out our faith a certain way, and as we move forward into this new season, things are going to have to change, and some of our mindsets and things like that might have to change. So just wanted to say welcome to Pastor Ross as we get this discussion started. So normally when we have a speaker come on, we ask them a question about, is there anything that you didn't have time to share that you still wanted to share from your message? So Ross, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. because there is so much. There is so much with the whole topic of the renewed mind. And even for me, I even though I've been researching and the Lord's been giving me revelation about it, there's just so much. It's just, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of it. And it's connected to the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom of God, that's a huge topic. And so there is so much that I could have shared, and so much that a lot of it is things that I'm not even applying to my life yet. Mm. It's just like a revelation that came, and then it's like, how does that work into the way I operate on a daily basis? Mm. And it's like, I don't know. In theory, I have some ideas, but practically speaking, I don't know. Mm. I don't know. And so it's like, the Lord is slowly revealing things to me that it's like, okay, I want you to understand this and then step into it. But it's a little bit at a time that he's bringing. So then he doesn't overwhelm me. Because I feel like he's saying too, if I released all the things I have for you, you wouldn't be able to stand under it. It would just overwhelm you. And you would be like, oh, I'm just nothing, God. I can't do anything. You know, just all this stuff he wants me, and even personally, things that he wants me to address. Because part of the renewing the mind is changing from the way that that I used to operate or the way I operate, and he wants me to operate in a different way. Mm. And it's like, oh man, if he just showed me everything, I would be like, I
give up.
Woe is me. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. And yeah. So yeah, there's a lot. In fact, Pastor Barry was asking if I would be willing to speak on some of these topics next year, maybe like four to six more times on this topic. So I feel like the Lord will, by the time those series rolls around, that I'll have more experience in them. Like I'll have some testimonies. I'll have some real life experience to be able to share. Mm. But right now it's like, oh man, yeah, there's just a lot. So I really wouldn't know where to go with that question, Dana. But, you know, actually there's one thing that I was kind of thinking about, and I want to throw this out to you guys, in that doing this podcast, what are some things that the Lord has been showing you that he wants you to explore or experience or change in the way you're doing your daily life because of this podcast? So like being like things that you guys are learning, things that you guys are experiencing, things that the guests say, or even just to each other, what are some things that you guys have experienced that's helped renew your mind or shift things or the way you see things?
Yeah, I mean, so we didn't prep for this, but for me, I'm trying to think of something specific, but really what comes to mind is like iron sharpening iron. I feel like no matter if it's just us or if we have another guest on, it's always happening. Like we're either challenging each other, like, well, what do you mean by that? Or go deeper with that. Or somebody else brings in, oh, I haven't thought of it that way. So I think having this roundtable discussion, a lot of times on the sermon, the previous week's sermon, it helps us to go deeper and then wrestle with it more. So I think in that way, it helps it to kind of either challenge it where we might have to reshape it, or no, it's like, oh no, I feel like I have that solid. And so I think that happens a lot, on these discussions.
I agree. I think... And it's not specifically only the podcast. I think for me personally, with the podcast though, and knowing that we are going to talk about either certain topics or the sermon, or kind of expand on certain themes, and then just the opportunity and privilege to serve at church and teach to youth and stuff, I think for me, there's just been a greater emphasis on almost like being... on top of things like more frequently or all the time, just kind of almost being prepared on a weekly basis, and more than just once, just like, okay, I only need to prepare for this day, and then the rest of the week it's kind of like everything goes by the wayside. It's being more, I guess, in relation to renewing the mind, it's having Christ and asking questions, the way he's working, more on the forefront of my mind, like throughout the whole week, because it's like, okay, on podcast, we're going to record on this day. I have to prep my lesson or prep my leaders to help with church and then do stuff for small group. And so it's like, not that there's no break, but in that way, my mind is being changed, or I'm having to wrestle with things or let go of things or pray about things, listen for things. And so that's definitely changed my mindset in terms of staying sharp. And then I think the other thing for me that I get to have a personal advantage that I appreciate is just even being here with Damon and Kyle. Like, I think off air too, there's been plenty of times where I am more than willing to just ask for their opinion or insight, and just say, hey, I've been thinking about this, or I'm struggling with this, or what do you think about this? And just to pick their brain and absorb anything that I can and discern through that, and just feeling blessed to have that opportunity on an almost daily basis that I could do that. And so there's been weeks at a times or different seasons where I'm probably in their ear a lot, and there's other times where not as much. But I do think it lends itself to what Kyle's talking about of ironing, iron sharpening iron, because I know I've been sharpened in that way.
Yeah, I think for me, because we have so many good conversations off the air, I do feel like one of the things that I wanted to do with the podcast, especially as we changed over to this new format, because originally it was in more interview style, but once we started changing to this new format, it was just, I wanted to bring some of the conversations that we have off air to the rest of our church, because I feel like they're so rich, and I feel like just some of the discussions that we have, I just feel very privileged to be able to be a part of them. And so I felt like with the podcast, this gives us an outlet to bring other people kind of behind the scenes a little bit more too, just to see some of the other things that we're thinking about throughout the week, and not just this is what happens on Sunday morning and then that's it. Mm-hmm. But giving people a chance to hear, you know, whether it's going deeper on the sermon, or sometimes we just have random topics that we talk about, but it's really more to help people to see, right, the Lord is here all week long, and to give people an opportunity to engage. And really, these are just an extension of some of the conversations that we're having when we're not on the air. So I think for me, that's one of the things that I really wanted to do with this podcast, was just give people kind of a glimpse of the things that I feel blessed by. And, you know, I really feel blessed by a lot of the conversations that we have during the week. And I just feel blessed to be around people that are really earnestly seeking the Lord. And I think that's really cool. Mm.
So we're not faking it, guys.
You know, what's cool is, you know, as I listen to the podcast that you guys have, and even like Catalyst Stories, what I really appreciate as a listener is the questions that you guys ask. Mm. You ask each other questions. You ask your guests questions. And to me, I feel like part of the renewed mind, of the shifting the mindset, is a curious mind. Mm. Someone who is curious about how things work. And even to take that, not only to each other, I think that's awesome to ask each other questions and stuff, and to take it beyond that, in that asking the Lord, what are you saying in this passage? Mm. What are you doing in this? And to ask questions to understand more and more of his heart and what he's doing, and then be able to take that into the world. Mm-hmm. Right, the Lord is showing us things in his word. And you know, I was reading I think it was Mark chapter 3, where Jesus' mother and his brothers came while Jesus was teaching in this house, and this guy comes up to Jesus and said, you know, your mother and your brothers are here. And Jesus, I can imagine him pointing to the crowd that he's talking to, and he said, these are my mother and my brothers, the ones that do the will of God. And when I read that story, in the past, it's always been something like, wow, Jesus just dissed his mother and his brothers, right? He's just telling them, oh no, these guys are my mother. But I felt like the Lord gave me some understanding about that, in that Jesus was not separating his mom and his brothers, but he was saying, He's increasing the size of his family, saying these disciples, these ones that are following me, these are my brothers and sisters, and he's incorporating them into his family. And so to me, when I sat there and read that, I was like, oh, that's his heart. That's the heart of Jesus, to incorporate those that are earnestly following him to be a part of his family. And so when I think about the city on the hill, that's got to be a part, you know. And then we've talked about this. This is not new to anybody. But to me, it just solidified what we're trying to do with the city on the hill, what we're trying to do with Catalyst, in that that's what Jesus was doing. He was incorporating people that are earnestly seeking after him, willing to do the God's will. And I was just like, oh, God, that is so awesome. And it's in those times of asking questions of, what does this mean? I don't understand it. Jesus, are you dissing your mom and your brothers? I mean, that can't be it. So what is it? And so that's why I just love hearing this kind of forum, where these questions that are being asked, going deeper and deeper. And, you know, John in his Catalyst Stories, I just love the questions that he asked his guests. Mm-hmm. And then what's awesome about it is, that's who John is. You know, I hang out with him monthly, and we're always asking each other questions. And I just get so fired up by his curiosity and his desire to go deeper and deeper and deeper. So, I feel like this forum that you guys are creating is so good, because it'll enable us, the listeners, but also you guys to go deeper and deeper and deeper into things. And that's the shifting. That's the renewing of the mind. So I just wanted to bring that up because
thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the renewing of the mind isn't just happen on Sundays, too. So, I mean, that's part of our heart for this, is that this is a continuation of, okay, let's continue that thought and go deeper, because a shifting of your mind isn't going to just happen because you heard one thing or just one time only. So, yeah,
absolutely.
It actually kind of, when you're introing us, Damon, you were saying, oh, yeah, we've been doing things for 18 years one way. But it actually made me think that, actually, during those 18 years, we were renewing our mind, a lot of us that have been at Catalyst for a long time, because we had other things with our identity and maybe intimacy with the Lord and things like that we had to renew our mind to do differently. But now we need to keep that, but we need to renew in another way to go further to this like new season that God has. So it's this idea of renewing your mind. It's like a continual journey with God, because he unpacks one thing and it's great. And you're like, oh yeah, I got my mind renewed. But it's like, okay, yeah, you got that part. Now we're going to unpack this thing. And it's kind of like what you were saying, Ross, about if God gave it to us all at one time, it's like, oh man, I can't do this. So in his grace, he gives us, hey, just renew this part right now, or just transform this area. And then, all right, you gained some traction. Now, okay, now let's shift over to this area. Yeah. I need a little smirk on your face, Damon.
Well, I'm trying to discern if we're supposed to talk about what I'm thinking.
Oh.
Well, I'll just throw it out there, and you guys can tell me what you guys think. So the other day I was talking to Tracy, and she asked me, she goes, you know, Pastor Barry's been talking about this false humility thing, or false harmony, false harmony thing, right? She's like, do you see any difference in our church since he started talking about it? And then how do we move forward if that's something that we've been talking about, that we want to, you know, break the curse of false harmony and actually have real harmony? So, you know.
Okay, Tracy, bringing the fire.
So, you know, as we're talking about renewing the mind, you know, that has been a mindset that we've had for a long time.
For sure.
Right? Is a specific, you know, let's just try to keep the peace and not necessarily dig deeper. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe that's a topic that we could talk about, is like, what do you guys think that the next steps might look like? How do we address it as a church? You know, because I do feel like that's Pastor Barry has talked about it, that that's a big step for us, you know, into becoming the city on a hill, is that we need to address this. Mm-hmm. So I asked the question, so you guys get to throw out what you guys think.
All right, first I'll give a shout out to Tracy. We're in the same Hearing God's class group, so woo-hoo! Shout out to her. She's been doing an awesome job. I think, this is just me personally, all right? So I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody, and so if you disagree with it, that's okay. It's just me. I think part of it is with the stronger together and the try something new and building that sense of community, it's can have a little bit of almost like a how do I put it? Kind of like a rah-rah team type, like High School Musical, we're all in this together type of feel, right? And it's really fun and there's a lot of energy, and I think that's great and there's a place for that. But I think the false harmony aspect can often get masked by that. Mm-hmm. That we're close because, or we're in peace and we're close because we do things together, or we have fun together, or we go to the same church, we've heard the same messages and things like that. I think one of the biggest examples to me was at the staff elders retreat, when it seemed kind of silly at first, but it's, do you actually give permission to people to speak into your life? Because that's when you're kind of like, I'm going to put my walls down and let people that you trust, you're putting faith in other people that what they say is for your benefit or for your good, even if it doesn't feel like it or seem like it, it gives them the freedom to do that rather than them having to, I don't want to say it takes away the discernment because you still have to discern, but that awkwardness or that second guessing of, should I say something? Should I do something? How is this person going to react? It gives more freedom and grace, I think, to both speak into somebody and then also on the receiving end, hopefully you're able to receive it in a certain way or have that dialogue. And with that understanding, I think it lowers things so both of you are on the same page, where in a lot of other situations, it's kind of like there's not an understanding before you're even able to have any type of discussion or say anything. It's you're kind of guessing where the other person is at and trying to meet them there, where this kind of brings you to the same place. And with that permission, you're able to not have anything, or there's a less possibility of things being misconstrued or misinterpreted and miscommunicated, because there's not like a hidden agenda. There's not, there's also a freedom to ask for clarification, or like, what did you mean by that? Or what does that look like? Or I think just a more realness. And so I think part of the next steps is continuing to do the fun things together and the activities and the, you know, kind of like the team morality stuff. But then to me, it's when there is adversity or there are things that come up, that's when you need to apply it. That's when you need to, you know, have your mind changed about it and say, okay, I'm not going to just brush it to the side, or I'm not going to just assume this, but maybe pray about and ask them if you have permission to say this to them, or ask them, hey, is our relationship, or can we do that? Because I don't want to have a, you know, relationship or conversation that's part of that false harmony, but more of being able to be real with each other. And it takes both sides, though. It takes the person who wants to say something, and it takes the person who also wants to have the openness or willingness to hear what it might be, because it's not always going to be easy. Because even in the example we did with the staff and elders, right, most people's response is, I give you permission and I'll do my best to try to respond in a way that is God glorifying or is healthy for both of us, right? Yeah. And so it takes both sides, and I think it's possible and doable. It's just, I think there also needs to be a willingness from everybody.
Yep. Changing your mind to be willing to get messy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I can give a little bit of insider baseball. It is on our radar. It's highly on our radar to do more with it and take it further. So, to answer Tracy's question, there may be things where you see it here and there, where people are starting to break that, but I don't know that we stepped into it enough where it would be like, oh yeah, I can tell things have shifted. So I know on the staff elder level at that retreat, things happen and it was impactful, but we haven't even taken it further yet. We're trying to figure that part out. So it's not something that we're going to just let it slip by and be like, oh, that was great, and we recognize that, and yeah, we broke it, and we're good. But it's something that we're going to have to walk out. So that's like kind of even what you were just saying, Brett, about the stronger together and that kind of stuff. We recognize that was good for us as like an entry level to bring community and bring togetherness, but then this is like another step for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, some of the lingo you were just using, it's like stuff from our emotionally healthy class, right? It's like checking assumptions, it's giving people permission, but it's sharing your feelings. Like, I noticed this, but I prefer this. You know, it's learning how to communicate and have relationships that are strong and healthy. But part of that, so part of breaking the false harmony is learning a new way to just have relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because the old way, it was false, right? It had harmony. It seemed like it was good, but it was not done in its fullness. I'll say it that way. Mm-hmm. Not that it was wrong, but it was on a certain level, but there was other levels that were not harmonious, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be an ongoing journey. It's going to take some time because that's one that I agree, Damon. We've operated that way for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so that's not going to be like a quick fix. So yeah, I mean, just so our listeners know, like it's something that as a staff, we take serious that it's a significant shift for us and our church. Absolutely for Pastor Barry. He recognizes it. So I can say I've seen it in him. I know he's starting to shift that. Mm-hmm. And as he does that, it's empowering others, especially on staff and people that are interacting. Because I've heard him share stories of how he's done that then with his small people in his small groups and different people individually. So he's starting to operate differently. And I think as people start experiencing it more, it's going to start shaping more. And then our minds are going to start shifting to like, oh, no, this is the normal way to do it, or this is the healthy way to do it, instead of, no, this is just the way Catalyst does it, like we have in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I have a testimony. So I started this group called the Jesus Encounter Group, and we met this past Tuesday. And so I've been praying and like asking the Lord, what does he want us to do in this session? And so, praying. And I just felt like he wanted us to go out. So to go out and interact with strangers and people, you know, just kind of wherever. So I was like, okay. So I kind of got an idea of what we're going to do. We're going to go to meet here at the Freedom Center, then go to the Exchange, Long Beach Exchange, and then just see what he does. So I was sharing with the group. I didn't tell them ahead of time, so they didn't have a heads up. It was kind of a surprise. And so I think some of them are used to doing that kind of stuff. So I think for them it's like, okay, yeah, let's go. I think others were kind of like, I'd never done this before, and what are we gonna do, and what, you know, almost like, okay, what are the expectations and stuff? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of tried to share, just, there's no expectations. Well, the only expectation is listen to the Lord, just do whatever he says to do. And whoever he highlights, just go talk to them or whatever. But there's no expectations. There's no, like, you have to talk to someone. You have to do this. You have to pray, you know, it's like, just do whatever he sends, you know? And so, one of the people in the group. So after I was asking him, okay, you have any hesitations, any questions and stuff? And everyone's pretty quiet. And yeah, it's funny. You could feel like, oh, there's a little bit of tension in the room. And this one person asked me, do you think, or do you sense the Lord leading us to do this? And I felt pushback, right? And I was like, oh, okay, that's a good question. So I kind of sat there and thought about it for a little bit. And I was like, no, I'd prayed. I'd sought the Lord, spent time listening, and I felt like he wanted us to do this. And then Matthew 10 came to mind, and Jesus sending out the 12. And Jesus said, you know, when you go out, tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm-hmm. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, raise the dead. And it's funny because when that person asked me, the first thing I went to was, what does the Lord say to me? But the second thing I went to was, what does his word say? Mm-hmm. And when I remember that, when I was like, oh, this is a command or a commission that he's giving to his disciple, his believer, the believers, it is solidified. Mm-hmm. And so I turned to that person. I said, yes, we're supposed to do this. And I just felt like it was a renewed shift in my mindset that I think before I would have been like, well, okay, is there anything else you guys are sensing? Or mm-hmm. I think I would have backed down a little bit. But I think because that person asked a really good question that challenged me, mm-hmm. that I was able to go, okay, no, really, what do I believe about this? What do I think about this? And yeah, it was, and so we went out and we had a great time. I mean, we were ministering to people, and not everyone did, but it was just, you could just feel the Lord's presence in that. And so when we debriefed afterwards, people were sharing about what was going on, and I could feel like on my shoulders and my back as I'm facing the group, the Lord's pleasure on that. And it's like, wow, God, that was a really different exercise, because it wasn't just everyone going, okay, yeah. There was actually a little bit of pushback. But yet, even from my side, I was able to go, no, that's what we're supposed to do. And then we go out and do it. And then it was just a really, really good time. So I just felt like, oh, man, we are learning how to step into the things that God is calling us to do, even if we don't get full, I don't want to say we don't get full agreement, but even if there is a little bit of pushback, even if there is a little bit of like hesitation, that it's like, no, let's go forward with this. And so even when I talked to that person afterwards, they were like, no, that was good. That was good. So, yeah. And of course, you know, I don't want to make it where everybody has to go. It's like, mm-hmm. still, I want to give people choices. But everybody did it. And we went out in pairs, mm-hmm. and it was a good time. But I think that whole thing of trying to have everyone agree, everyone being on the same page in the sense of the false harmony kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I can see where it's coming down a little bit, and we're identifying a little bit quicker about things that, yeah, that's not God. That's not God. And so let's step into this, even if it means a little bit of, you know, again, it wasn't like tension. It wasn't tense feel, but a little bit of like, ooh, okay. Where is this going to go? So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. So I think as more people step into it, mm-hmm. and especially as the leaders mm-hmm. step into it, we're going to create this atmosphere where the church will experience that and go, okay, yeah, I can speak my mind. I can speak. I don't have to be a yes man. And yeah.
Well, I can even see too, the person that asked the question though, that could be that renewing of your mind of breaking harmony and yep. Not being afraid to speak up and ask, because yes. that could be taken like, oh, this person's, it could be taken a lot of different ways. So even for them to that, and then for you to go to the person after and say, how was that for you? Oh yeah, no, that was the right thing to do. So even just having that, like that really, that humility and harmony from being able to challenge each other and being able to be like, oh yeah, no, I agree with that. Or even say like, no, I'm not sure if that's the right thing. So, mm-hmm. and then for you too, on your side, of having the conviction of like, okay, do I need to please everybody? Do I need to mm-hmm. make sure everybody is happy? Yes. Or do I need to be obedient? And like, yeah, those are shifts. So that's cool. Yeah.
And what I can see too, is that there'd be even greater righteous harmony mm-hmm. happening. Even as, you know, we step into these things where, you know, like, yeah, it's like, wow, God was in that. So then there's a more feeling, more sensing of, yeah, God is really in this. So that's what we want to align ourselves to, rather than, oh, I just want to do the things that I want to do, you know. And so, yeah.
Group discernment is good, because sometimes mm-hmm. we get part of it, or we're off a little bit, and we need somebody to, are you sure? It's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we should do that. We should check in together.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I feel very blessed by right now is Nemo's class, the emotionally healthy relationships, because I think one of the things that it does is it helps to give us tools to approach this, right? Mm-hmm. And so like this last week, we talked about the ladder of integrity, which helps us to identify our values. And when there is some type of tension or conflict, what is that rubbing up against? Like, what value do I have that issue or that interaction is rubbing up against? And why is that causing me to have that tension? Mm-hmm. Right. So if we're more aware of what's going on inside of us, then we can approach it from a healthier perspective. Because a lot of times when we think of conflict or conflict resolution, the way that the world portrays it, it's like an argument. We got to argue our way out of it. We got to fight our way through it.
Stand your ground.
Right. And then really that doesn't get us anywhere other than separation. Right. But real harmony is when we can recognize how to not move towards separation, but actually come together. Right. And so we can be in disagreement, but then we can recognize, hey, this actually rubs against this value. This is why it's bothering me. Versus like, what you did, right? And then getting into an argument over it. So I think it's really been helpful to take that class. So shout out to Mimo and Emotionally Healthy. Like when she offers it again, I think it would be beneficial for everybody to take. But just having more tools to be able to use to move forward into having what real harmony is, I think that's really important, because I think a lot of us have not grown up or learned a lot of the tools that we need to have healthy relationships in that way. So we move towards this false harmony thing because we don't have the tools to actually move towards real harmony.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said the word awareness and self-awareness. I think that's actually a huge part of renewing your mind. And we've talked about that. I think the last couple of weeks we've brought up that topic from that class. Mm-hmm. Because we can be aware of our environment. We can be aware of other people and what maybe they're doing, even right and wrong. But if we're not aware of our own emotions, our own values, our own family history, our own, you know, things that cause triggers, our own wounds, if we're not aware of that and able to deal with that kind of stuff, then our minds aren't going to be renewed fully, because we're just renewing it from a perspective of, oh yeah, what they're doing wrong or what that situation is, versus, oh yeah, but what about me inside? And so I think as we go along next year, I think we're going to be doing, yeah, we're going to be doing more, we're diving more into that as a church, like just helping to like restore your whole being into alignment, into fullness. And a lot of self-awareness is a big part of that.
Speaking of self-awareness, I was rambling earlier because I was kind of dancing around certain things.
It's okay, Brett. I mean, it happens to all of us every now and then. It's been a while since you've, I'm like, wow, he's having a hard time ending this one.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I will, there's a lot of things going on, so I will be back on another episode and clear there. But I think in summary, also what you were saying, I think combating this false harmony, there's a lot of things that can come out of it. Because I do feel like it requires a greater level of surrender. Mm. It requires, yeah, humility to be open. It requires and encourages greater connection. And ultimately, I think one of the fruits of it is like wholeheartedness. Because you can't have wholeheartedness if there's that false harmony, because there's parts of you that are either hiding things or keeping things or afraid to say. So then that's not truth and wholeheartedness. And so whether it's relationships with each other, I think there's even sometimes a false harmony we could have with God. And like we feel like, oh no, like he's all good, everything's good, which is true. But if you're actually feeling upset or wrestling or going through something that's hard, and you don't express your frustration or disappointment or ways that you're seeing him incorrectly or feel like he's not working in your life, there can be a misconstrued view of who he is. And that could obviously affect your relationship with God. And so it happens in all aspects, in all relationships that we have. And so, I'm looking forward to the ways that God will lead us in this, because some of it is still unknown. What does it look like for us to live it out? But I think it's a good place for our church to be in.
Yeah, no, I think that's a huge point of, we have to understand and know, excuse me, who God is. That's part of renewing the mind. Because if we don't have a full view and understanding of God, then we're going to take our own distorted view, our own idea of what we want God to be like, and then that's going to make our mind go to a certain place too. So now it just made me think of, I pulled up my phone because Mimo sent me a text this morning with a podcast. I think she said she sent it to you too, Damon. But this one wasn't to both of us. She sent it to us individually.
Is this the Mountains one?
Yeah. Did you listen to that already?
I'm about halfway.
I haven't started it. But talking about like relinquishing, surrendering, and she's like, I think a lot of people at church are going through this. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's that process of renewing your mind. You have to relinquish. Well, this is the way I've thought of it before. Or I have to surrender, like, well, that's the way I want it to be. Like, well, I have to align my mind then with my beliefs and all that kind of stuff. And, but I do feel like God is doing that surrender. Like that's what Barry was talking about. That's where God really highlighted wholehearted surrender at our retreat. And so I don't know if you guys want to even just share about that a little bit, but that idea of it takes yeah, just willingness to say, oh, I've been seeing this wrong, or willingness to say like, oh, I need a better, a more clear view of God, of me, of different things like that.
Well, if you see me on Sunday or during the week, you might notice something different about me. I've been wearing my glasses for a couple of weeks because I don't normally need glasses. I have a prescription just for sitting in front of the computer because I sit in front of the computer a lot. And my eye doctor said it would be good for me just to wear the glasses so my eyes aren't straining throughout the day. But a couple of weeks ago, I felt like the Lord told me, like, you're in a season of renewing your mind. I want you to see things differently than you did before. So I want you to wear your glasses as something that is reflecting in the natural what's actually going on in the spiritual. He's trying to shift my mindset so I don't look at things the same way. So now that I'm wearing my glasses every day, I feel like he's been telling me, this is a new way for you to see the world, and I want you to see it differently. So be intentional about that. So the other day I woke up and I was laying in bed, kind of praying a little bit, and I wasn't wearing my glasses, but I felt like they were still on.
I thought you wore them 24/7, like when you're sleeping and everything. Come on.
I'm not looking at anything when I'm sleeping, so I don't necessarily
need... Your spirit's awake, man. Come on.
So I was praying, and it felt like my glasses were still on my face. And I put my hand on my face like, nope, they're not there. But then I was asking the Lord, like, what is this about? And I felt like he was saying, you're starting to feel like this new way of seeing the world is normal. Mm. And I said, oh, okay. So I don't think that the season of me wearing the glasses is going to be forever. But I do feel like...
Well, you are getting older and older. Come on, man. It's going to be a point where it's going to be... Right, Ross? Come on.
All right. Well, I'm not saying it's going to be forever. I'm not saying it's not going to be forever. Okay, it's going to be until God tells me that I can take them off. But what I'm saying is I feel like, you know, in this season that I'm in right now, in these shiftings, he's been kind of giving me affirmation that things are changing. Mm-hmm. So, like, even the way that I'm seeing, it's not like I'm intentionally trying to see it differently, but it's now becoming a new normal. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel like some of the things, like even hearing God to say, I want you to wear your glasses every day, or just some of the little things that he's been speaking to me recently, it's like, okay, well, I don't know why you're asking me to do this yet, but we've been talking about surrender, and so is this something that's really, I mean, wearing my glasses, that's not a difficult thing to do, right? So is this a difficult thing for me to do? No. So if God has a purpose for it, I don't need to know exactly this is why you're doing it, but I just feel like the posture that he wants me to be in is just to say, I surrender this to you. If this is what you want, I'll do it. And so I do feel like it's been an interesting season, but I think it's cool to see the ways that the Lord has been orchestrating different things.
That's cool. I like the way that you're, Damon, that you're aware of what the Lord is saying, and that even in your daily circumstances that you are listening for his voice, and then trying to understand what he wants you to do, and making connections. That's really cool. I have another testimony. Sorry, I got a lot of the Lord is just doing. I went to Stater Brothers with Eliana this past week, and so we're going walking into the store, and this is another example of how God is renewing my mind, how he's changing things. So the lady goes, this is the one on Spring and
Palo Verde,
yeah. And so we're going into Stater Brothers, and this lady, she's sitting outside in the parking lot, and she goes, oh, can you, and she has two little kids in like a stroller, and she's like, oh, can you get us some food from McDonald's? And I was like, I turned and looked, I go, McDonald's is on the other end of the parking lot. So kind of in my laziness, I was like, can I get you some food from Stater Brothers? And she goes, oh, okay. Can you get me some groceries? So then I was like, okay, yeah, I can get you some stuff. And then she goes, so can we come in with you? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. So we go in. So I'm with Eliana. So Eliana, she knows her routine. She gets her shopping cart. And then the lady grabs a shopping cart. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be a little bit bigger than what I thought. And so then she goes, okay, so we'll get our stuff. And then we'll meet you here by the flowers. Is that okay? And I was like, yeah, that's okay. And I could feel the false harmony kind of kicking in, right? I'm like, and then she goes, which is so cool. She goes, but, you know, when we come back, if there's anything in there that you don't want to pay for, totally, you know, that's okay. We can put it back. So I was like, okay. At least she has some, you know, some awareness, right? So we go out, we go doing our thing. And me and Eliana are shopping, I'm going, what if she comes back with a ton of groceries? What am I going to do? And so I get a little bit anxious, right? Like, wow, what if this is going to be like a shopping spree, right? Yeah. Like, so anyway, we're doing our shopping and stuff. And then sure enough, she comes back and her basket is loaded. Mm. The cart is loaded. And at first, I had this reaction of, oh, no. You know, I don't say anything. Mm-hmm. And it probably showed in my face, but I was like, yeah. And then I just got this sense of, like, I've seen all these Todd White videos mm-hmm. where he goes out and ministers, and then he takes the family on a shopping spree in, like, Walmart or something. And he says, get all this clothes and toys and all this stuff. And then I just felt like the Lord said, that's my heart for her. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, okay. If that's your heart for her, then I told her, no, everything that you want, we'll get. And so she's like, okay. She's like, oh, you don't want to put anything back? And I was like, no. She goes, take a look. And no, it's okay. So we go to the cashier, and I have her go first. And I notice the cashier, she's like looking around, and then she gets on a phone and she's or something, and she's like talking to someone. And then I'm like, wow, what's going on? So we're putting all the food and groceries onto the belt, and she's ringing it up. And then she rang it up, and yeah, it was over $200. Mm. And so the guy's bagging all her stuff, and so the mom and her two kids are you know in the aisle or by the bagger, mm-hmm. and then the checker's looking around, and then this manager comes over, and then they're just kind of standing in front of me. I'm like, okay, well you can ring, you know, I paid and everything, so I'm like, okay, let's go. And then she's looking at me like she wants to say something. And then she goes, did you meet this lady? Like, and then, you know, she's like mm-hmm. trying to point, like really, you know, outside.
Covertly.
Yeah, covertly. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, yeah. And she goes, okay, so you don't know her, right? I'm like, no. She goes, and then she's like, she leans in kind of close, and she goes, and she's talking really quiet, and she goes, I don't want to say anything that she can hear, but there's been a lot of people that are like scamming our customers into buying stuff and everything, and so just want to let you know that there's a scam that's going on. And I was like, oh, okay, well thank you so much for taking care of your customers, I appreciate that, but I feel like she's a person in need, so I wanted to buy this stuff. And she goes, and then so the manager's like, well, you know, there's all these people that are using kids to like play on people's emotions and stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see that. But yeah, I think she's a person in need. And so they go, okay. And so I don't know what they were expecting me to do because I already paid. Mm-hmm. So then they're ringing my stuff, and I go, oh, thank you so much for, you know, taking care of your customers like that, just being. And then they go back into that, well, you know, because there's people scamming. I'm like, yeah, okay. But I feel like she's being genuine. So so they're just kind of like, okay. So I did feel a little bit of like almost like the world pushing back on like saying, this is not how you should be doing stuff. Yeah. And I was going back to, what did the Lord say? And I was like, well, this is the Lord's heart. I don't know if the lady's story is completely true, but it almost doesn't matter. Mm. this is what the Lord said to do. So I paid for our stuff, and then we're walking out. And then, so I was like, oh, so, I just want to let you know her name. I forget her name. I have it on my phone. But I just told her, you know, Jesus loves you. And I know that it's hard right now with the economy and stuff, everything costing so much. And she goes, yeah. And I have three other kids at home. So she has five kids, and she goes, yeah, and I'm a single mom, and it's hard. I'm just trying to get by as best I can. And I was like, yeah, you know, I understand. I completely understand. And I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. Oh, my gosh. He's so in love with you, and he wants you to thrive. He wants a relationship with you, and he's there for you. And she goes, yeah, I know Jesus. Mm. I pray to him all the time. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you've accepted Jesus? And he goes, yeah, yeah. And so even more so, I felt like, okay, this was a divine moment that I could have just said, okay, here's $20, and then, you know, go buy whatever, and then that's it. But because of the Lord shifting things with the way I think or the way that I was going to act, that I got this opportunity. And so we went to her. She has a car. And we went to the car, and the kids are just kind of going crazy. But yet, even in those moments with the kids, I was like, oh, she's a good mom. Mm. So I told her, you know, you're a good mom. Isora, you're a good mom. Mm. And you're doing well with your kids. And she's just like, wow, thank you so much. And so I prayed for her. And she goes, I'll be praying for your family too. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. We need it. You know, we need prayer, and we need the Lord's help. And so, you know, we left it at that. We parted ways. And I just felt like, oh, God, that's another opportunity that you give, that when we listen for your voice, even if we make judgments or even if we start to go a different direction, that you bring these opportunities for us to step into them. And I was just, yeah, just so blessed and so amazed at what God can do. And again, I don't know, you know, if her story is completely true or how much of it is true or whatever. But to me, it's almost like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. When God calls us, our job is to be obedient. And our job is to follow him and to do what we can. And then he just mm-hmm. takes care of it, right? So I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for opportunities that you give us. Mm-hmm. And I just thank him for continually shifting my mind, because so many times, and especially I got to do that with Eliana. Mm-hmm. So we were able to talk about it afterwards and say, you know what we just did? And she's like, yeah, yeah. I go, yeah, she was a family, and she has a family and kids and da 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 da. And we're able to help her and serve her in that way. And so, I mean, you know, 7-year-old, I don't know how much she gets, but she's like, okay, hey, can I get my bubble gum now? okay, go ahead. So I just, yeah, and grateful for the way God is moving in our church and in people and making us more aware of him, and for us to just continually say yes, yes to opportunities that he gives us.
We kind of don't know where to go, because it's like, preach, preach. But, you know, we are coming on quite a long episode already. Yeah, yeah. So it might be time to, you know, kind of wrap things up, but wanted to close it off by asking Ross, like, is there one last thing you'd like to share with our listeners before we let you go?
Yeah, actually, this is, and I'll make this short. One thing that the Lord has been speaking to me about is, look, I'm trying, in the way that I perceive things in the world, I want to be a person, I want to be a son of his that is always looking for opportunities to thank him, to glorify him, mm-hmm. to worship him, to just be grateful and thankful and to be looking for those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that's been challenging me, that, yeah, in the good and the bad, mm-hmm. whatever that's happening, it's like, how can I thank God in this situation? How can I praise him? How can I see what his hand is doing and just always being a person who's trying to be aware mm-hmm. of those things? And I tell you, when I do that, it shifts a lot of things. I don't react as much. I'm more in a responsive posture where it's like, okay, oh no, I think this is what he's doing. I think this is what he's doing. And it just lifts so much heaviness off of my shoulders. And mm-hmm. I feel like the peace of God just kind of comes in, and it's like, yeah, he's working. He's doing stuff. And it's for my, to posture myself in a way where I see it. So yeah, that's another shifting of the mind, mm-hmm. right? Where it's like, I'm seeing, mm-hmm. I want to see what he's doing mm-hmm. and then give him praise and glory for that. So yeah. Yeah. That's enough.
I think that's a pretty practical thing for all of us, is just to continue to have our eyes open to opportunities to say thank you to God, whether it's, you know, a nice sunrise or someone that's very helpful in a restaurant, or, mm-hmm. you know, there's all these opportunities for us to be able to see his hand at work if our eyes are open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're heading into, you know, the month of November, Thanksgiving, and that is a huge way to transform and renew your mind, is just look for ways to be thankful mm-hmm. because you can find it in even in bad situations, yep. but you yes. have to look at it a different way.
Yes.
And it's not easy. We do that a lot with our kids. A lot of our prayer time is actually Thanksgiving. It's like recounting the day, like, oh, thank you for this, thank you for that.
That's so good.
And sometimes it's like, oh yeah, that was kind of good. And it gives you a different perspective of not like, oh man, my day was so hard, there's challenges and all of that, but if you focus on and you speak out the things that you're thankful for, man, it makes life so much more joyful, so mm-hmm. much more full, so much more just enjoyable. You know, yeah. even when it's not an enjoyable season,
yes. it's yes. like,
but it takes time to kind of shift your thinking of even like seeing things that you can be thankful for mm-hmm. and just being aware of it. It's like, yeah, it is a huge blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how in like Philippians 4, it says, rejoice always, mm-hmm. right? Be thankful. And I'm like, yeah, because I can't do that on my own with my right. own thinking. But if the Lord is challenging me to look for the things, then I'm more willing mm-hmm. to just go into that place of rejoicing and being thankful. And then the peace of God yeah. comes, right? And it's like, oh, so good.
Especially coming from being a realist, Brett. Like I used to always be like, yeah, I'm thankful kind of, or with the big things, but it's like, but look at all the stuff I have to be prepared for, or like prep myself for. And it's like, I don't live that way. I still live that way sometimes, but not as much as I used to, but it's just a different mindset.
There was a huge season where I think I wasn't a realist and I was actually a pessimist. And so,
yeah, no, I know. Me too.
I think part of it too, and I just hear my dad tell me about perspective, but mm-hmm. changing our mindset, our view, our perspective, it really is like a superpower. Mm. I don't think people often recognize how shifting that and renewing our mind and looking at things different, or just being open, how much it could actually change things. It may not make certain circumstances or things go away, but how you guys have been describing, even being thankful, whether it's a good season or bad season, it can change things immensely. Mm-hmm. And especially if we're able to bring that into alignment with how God sees it or what he's doing. Yeah, I think it's a superpower that everyone can tap into. Mm-hmm. And so, being able to renew our mind, change our perspective, just being open, mm-hmm. because even sometimes the way you see things, it's not wrong, but just at least the openness to ask the question, to sit with God, to seek discernment, that's renewing your mind instead of just doing it out of habit or just because, or 'cause everybody else does it that way. Even to stop and pause and just, okay, God, is this what you want me to do? It may not change the answer. You may be doing the right thing, but allowing him into it, or, you know, just those small steps to pause and to just be open, to check yourself, to do all those things, and helping renew your mind and your perspective. I think it could go a long way.
And I think a huge aspect, as you were sharing, it brought to mind just community. It's like being around other God-fearing people that you give permission to speak into. Because sometimes you're in a bad season and you're like, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for. But then you have other people to say, like, you know, they're not in the situation. They're a little bit out. They can be like, well, what about this? What about that? I think that renewing that perspective, it we can't do it alone. We can get so far, or we can get to a certain place by ourselves, but we really need other people to speak into us, to affirm, to see things from a different perspective and give us more of that well-rounded part. And then if we do that, that's going to really have that finishing touch of helping us renew and shift our mind.
Yeah, I think we can close off this episode and this sermon series with remembering the verse that it came from, right? It says, this is a command, right? Mm-hmm. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? And as our mind is renewed, what does it become? I think biblically it becomes the mind of Christ, right? And so then we're able to see the world the way through Jesus's eyes, right? And really that's when we can have real harmony, is when everybody's seeing the world through Jesus's eyes. We might disagree on certain aspects of things that are going on, but our heart and our will be aligned with the Lord, and then we're able to respond in a healthy way. So, you know, just want to say thanks again to Pastor Ross for coming on and sharing some thoughts on what it looks like to have a renewed mind and some of his testimonies of how he's been stepping into, and the Lord has been shifting his mindset to this new season. So thanks again, Ross.
Oh, yeah. Good having you.
Thanks, guys. It was fun.
And thanks to you guys for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.